You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome in to MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Mark Sheldon. And, Mark, we've been going back and forth since the start of the season. You know, were the Reds going to get in it? Are they, are they just destined to sort of fade in this thing? And I think the answer is now very clear. We knew that they would be, looking to be fairly active at the trade deadline. Still a week to go. But boy, Johnny Cueto already gone off to Kansas City. And that one's, to me, Mark, it's just a different move than so many others that both the Reds will make and other teams make because of his affiliation with this ball club, his long-standing relationship with them. What was the feeling in clubhouse, just in general around town, with this move?
Well, of course, there was an inevitability to it as the team was struggling way back when April, when opening day came, and they weren't able to reach a deal on an extension, which no one expected. It was basically if the Reds didn't contend, this kind of deal would happen, and then it got closer and closer, and of course it intensified over the weekend before finally happening on Sunday morning. So there was an expectation of it happening, but at the same time, there was definitely some sadness. He was saying goodbye to teammates as they were taking the field for batting practice at Coors Field. And so there was some guys that were, with mixed emotions. Baseball's a business. Some tough things have to happen sometimes in the game. But at the same time, these guys become friends. They become kind of like a family. So they hate to see one of their guys go, especially an established guy like Cueto, who went from being kind of a raw kid when he got here at 22 years old to being a friend of everybody and a mentor to a lot of young kids, too. So it was tough. Brian Pena talked about how sad he was. Jay Bruce, Todd Frazier, Michael Lorenzen. So it was a bit of a tough day in the clubhouse on Sunday.
Yeah. I would imagine it would be. And even though Cueto's moving on to a situation where, he's looking at the very real prospect of not only getting to the postseason but making another exciting run with Kansas City, I know those things are thrilling for guys. And yet, like you talk about, he came up as a 22-year-old in this organization. This is what he knows, the Cincinnati Reds. Sometimes that excitement is tempered by, whether it's loyalty or even just anxiety of going to another team. Did you get a sense for his feelings about how things went down?
Yeah, he had mixed emotions. I mean, he's actually been in the organization since he was 16. He got signed in 2004 out of the Dominican, and he spent a lot of time in the minors before he actually debuted in 08 as a 22-year-old. So this is the organization where he grew up. So it was tough. And obviously there's some distractions, and he thought he was even being traded maybe right up before his really brilliant start on Saturday night when he threw 8 scoreless innings over Colorado. But at the other hand, there was a sense of relief. He could now focus solely on pitching, helping a contending team get back to the playoffs, possibly further. And so I think now he's kind of relieved that the rumors are over. He's not going to be talking about where he might be going next for at least a few months because, of course, when he becomes a free agent at the end of the season, it'll start over again. But right now I think sadness that he's leaving, but relief that it's over.
Meanwhile, the Reds get 3 left-handers in return. One of them, Brandon Finnegan. He pitched in a College World Series last year and then followed that up by pitching in the World Series with Kansas City. Not exactly a stranger to the big stage. That's a guy with some very big potential, high ceiling. John Lamb, Cody Reed also in this deal. What do we know about the haul that the Reds made on this one?
Well, the early returns, Dave, is that they did pretty well in this trade. And certainly better than they would have done if they kept Cueto and let him go off to free agency and getting a draft compensation pick. So I think they did fairly well. Finnegan, who, like you said, people saw last year in the college and the MLB World Series last year. So I think they know who that is. But the one difference for him is that he's going to be converted into a starting pitcher with the Reds. He was solely working out of the bullpen at the big league level for Kansas City. He had a couple starts this year at Omaha, but he's going to start with the Reds, and he's going to Louisville to get developed. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him before too long. And John Lamb was Kansas City's number one prospect up until maybe 3 or 4 years ago when he had Tommy John surgery. And now he's back on track. He's having a very strong season at Omaha. So I think they would be expecting him to be pretty close. And I've heard some good things about Reed, who is ranked high in the in the system now with the Reds as well. So they did pretty well. And, you know, maybe what the Reds really wanted to do in this trade and potential ones that are coming up next is get young players that can be controlled for quite a while. You know, obviously that's 6 years of club control for the two young kids that they there, and five more with Finnegan. So it'll be that's what they wanted.
Okay. All right. Well, what's next now? Do you anticipate now that does that move signal that there will be many, many more? Or are they all independent of one another, do you suppose? Or what would you anticipate happening by Friday?
I don't know if they're going to move everybody. Like everyone expects, of course, as you know, it's the non-waivers trade deadline. It doesn't mean that guys can't be moved after 4 o'clock on Friday. There's always a chance that someone could get through waivers and be moved. It's happened before. But I would think they're going to at least move Mike Leake. He's a free agent after the year. There's been some interest. The one really interesting one is Jay Bruce, who is under contract through 2016 as a club option for 2017. Grand total, that is probably about $26 million if it's picked up, along with the next season contract. So he's pretty cost-friendly to a lot of teams. He's got power. Offense is at a premium right now in baseball. But at the same time, if the Reds don't get the offers they like for him, then they can hold on to him. Fit it with Aroldis Chapman, who is obviously someone anybody would want in the back of their bullpen. And he's also got control through 2016, so they don't have to do it. But if they get the right offer, I could see it happening. And then you look at guys like Marlon Byrd, who could provide some complimentary offense to a team that needs it, or Brian Peña, who could be a team's extra catcher if they need one. So there's some possibilities of guys moving. I don't know if everyone's going to go, but I definitely think it'll be at least Leake and very possibly Bruce, who had a lot of scouts watching him over the weekend in Colorado, namely the Mets.
Well, yeah, so it promises to be a very busy week around the team. I know that'll keep you up at night. And then on top of it, the club goes to St. Louis, where it's always a spirited matchup. Although it has just been an absolute house of horrors for the Reds in recent years there in St. Louis. I don't know. I guess it'll sort of be interesting to see, how this team shows up, in St. Louis. Obviously, at this point, it becomes official in that clubhouse. We're looking toward next year. Guys are pros. Guys are paid to compete every day. But sometimes those things don't always work out as planned.
Yeah, it's definitely been a one-sided rivalry. For as much as everyone makes about Cincinnati and St. Louis, the Reds haven't won a series here since September of 2011. That's 9 straight series they've dropped here. They've had some struggles here. They've won like 3 of, they're like 3-29-2 in series here since 2003. So they got some work to do. The big issue is going to be getting a good length from their rotation. Now with Cueto gone and perhaps Leake, they're going to have a lot of young kids this coming week, possibly pitching, and they have to get more length out of their starters, or it's going to be a really long last couple of months of the season. Michael Lorenzo went 2 1/3 inning on Sunday, so the bullpen's already kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. They got some work to do, but they have Raisel Iglesias going here in the series opener. If they can get some distance from him, that'll be a good start for them.
Yeah, well. Yeah, nice spot for the rookie. We'll see. Hopefully, no real fireworks in this one. Everybody can just kind of stay calm. But good luck with it, and good luck the rest of this week, Mark. I know there are going to be some late nights and a lot of rumors, and you're going to be chasing all kinds of news. We'll be looking forward to next week and finding out what actually did happen before the trade deadline.
Okay.
All right. Take care. There he goes, Mark Sheldon, MLB.com Extra, the Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.